Let's jump right in and explain what we're here to talk about. It's that third and very exciting race event.
Yep, we've got Uther's Traverse, and it is Uther's for everyone who's wondering how to read that word properly.
Aether. I don't know how to say it. Ether. Yeah. Like the air we breathe or shouldn't be breathing, not ether, would be asleep.
Yeah, we, gosh, I do have a description here, but Charles probably knows off the top of his head. He's a little mythological guy.
Sort of. He's the Greek god of the pure air of the heavens, essentially. He's responsible for the clear air that the gods breathe.
Well, let's be talking to him about a few things then, because he hasn't brought it down to us lately. Aether's Traverse. All right. Well, let's hear some more details about this upcoming race event. The date, the time, the place, what is it all about?
Yeah, the race is a week and a half from now, so it's on Saturday, August 15th. It starts at Baldy, and you go up and over Baldy Mountain. Over to East River Road, and you come up some ideal land on the back and top out at the Sky House on Schweitzer Mountain. So I got that right? Charles is looking at me like...
You basically traverse over the Selkirks and then back up to the top of them.
Hang on, you guys. Charles, I'm going to switch you with Justin, switch places, and then Charles can have his own mic, and Justin can be added in for flavor. But we need both Charles and Sammy to be able to have... easy conversation. So go for it now, Charles.
And I did want to ask Sammy, does it start at the disc golf course? Is that on Baldy where it'll start?
That would have been very smart, but I've got a bit of property on Baldy that I'm building a barn on with my husband, and we're obsessed with all these races, so we figured we might as well just start from there, and our neighbors are awesome, and yeah.
Okay, great.
Is it near the disc golf parking lot?
It kind of is. I don't want to give away all my location secrets, but
yes, in that
if you're doing
general.
The race. Yeah, but it's right before Upland.
Okay.
Come say hi, I guess.
So generally in that area, just wanting to have an understanding. And then those racers, bikers are going to get all the way around and up and up and up and up, and they'll be way up at Sky House, and there's literally a road that will take them, a gravel road that folks can bike on all the way up there.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good road. I'm trying to, is it East River Road? I think it is.
River Road is the only paved section of our course. You know, and then we take that right-hand turn onto
the fork of the East River.
Yes. East River.
So we follow the East River up the backside of Schweitzer. Very good gravel roads, which get narrower and steeper and gnarlier as you go up to
the
point where you actually have to get off your bike and walk a little bit. But
oh, wow. And
he does.
Justin
doesn't have to, because he's kind of a superhuman.
Well, let's just talk to you for a moment, Justin. I met you last year when I was helping out with one of the hydration stations, and you were helping out last year also, I believe, due to an injury, yes?
I was.
Bring that mic a little closer there, Justin.
Yes, I had a torn Achilles tendon last year. A little overzealous playing basketball with some eighth graders.
That's no fun. Ouch. But this year, does that mean you'll be participating in this grind?
I will be. I'm looking forward to it. I kind of like to suffer. Something really attractive about that.
So what does the training look like for this sort of an event? What are you doing now?
Good question. I ride my bike uphill a lot, about 3 or 4 times a week. And right now I'm trying to ride about 50,000 vertical feet a month just to train for it as an experiment.
Whoa.
I thought, if this doesn't work, there's no way I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, how many vertical feet will people be encountering on the 15th?
So on this race, Aether's Traverse, it's, 6,200 feet, roughly?
6,359.
Yeah.
Listeners, did you hear that? 63, say it again, Sammy.
6,359, and... we are sharing mics today, so if I'm quiet every once in a while.
Yes, so put up with us this morning, listeners, but I think we'll get all the information out. That's a lot of elevation. And
I'd like to say that Justin's training has come in pretty handy because he, I think, is in second or third place in the overall standings right now. He was third place in our last race overall. And I think, what, fourth place in the first one?
I think I was fifth or sixth. I think I might have been sixth place in the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you still recovering from the Achilles for that one? Or
I'd like to say yes, but no, I wasn't.
Just getting fit, working on getting fit. They're hard. I can't believe it.
Well, maybe he spent too long at the MASH tent.
Yes.
Oh, MASH. I
the
like
first,
that.
The first race.
And Julie's referring to our aid station. For listeners who weren't at the aid station, which would be most of you, we did win the award for the most interesting aid station, and it looked like a MASH tent.
I spent a lot of time there. That was fun.
Did. Oh, good. Very good. Well, okay. And I'm interested in knowing how many folks you think you'll have. How many do you have now? Is this as big as some of the other ones?
I think we have 53 or so right now.
Yeah. Which is pretty on par with what we had last year at this time. We always get people last minute. I'd expect
mid-60s?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say maybe 20 more signups within the next week and a half. People are very weather dependent for this race, which makes sense, right? We were just talking about the smoke prior to coming on, and that is definitely, something that we have to be mindful about and that people need to be mindful about. But we'll direct them as best we can as we approach the day.
Speaking of which, we will have, we're going to be monitoring the smoke. And I think the value, if on the day of the race, if the AQI is 175 or
above,
you know, sort of wavering.
That range,
150, you know, 150 consistently or 175 hitting that high, then we're going to call it off.
Okay.
Cancel the race.
Do you think it would be rescheduled, or is that too hard to...
We won't reschedule it, but we'll kind of give some sort of rain check for next year for people who have signed up.
Sure.
Yeah. So people will get a race still. It might just be next year. But also, we don't need to... It's going to go on.
Yeah.
it's going to be a great day.
It's good to let people know just in case.
Right.
Because people do have asked us about that, and, well, we better have some... criteria for that. So.
Yeah.
100% because we were all watching those AQIs around town and deciding what kind of activities we want to go be happening. And I think it is responsible of you to have a plan for that. And so if it gets in that unhealthy area, you will call it. And then people won't have to make that personal decision. Do they want to go ahead and do something really strenuous and poor air quality, because these guys are people, men and women with big hearts that want to go on no matter what. And I bet they would just race on even if the air quality was terrible.
I agree.
Yeah. You guys are motivated.
Yeah, we're motivated. And especially because the end of Ethers is going to be like the greatest thing ever, isn't it? Topping out at the Sky House.
Yeah.
We've been very specific to actually host our party at the top of the mountain this year versus we did awards and food and everything in the village. So
last year.
Yeah. So this year.
Yeah. So we're going to have, it's the last race of the series. So we'll have a big celebration up at the Sky House at the end of this one.
The best ever. The very best party of all.
We'll be doing the draw for four different raffles up there. We've got the poster, framed, signed posters by the artist for each of the races that we'll raffle off. And then we have this bicycle, kind of a funky, unique bicycle that Bonner County Bikes donated that we're going to be raffling off. So
that
should be fun.
That sounds fun. Julie, you had a question about the awards. Why don't you go for it?
Well, I guess I was wondering, first of all, is it a nationally sanctioned race? I mean, is it something that people get points for on the national?
It's not.
Okay.
If we were sanctioned by USA Cycling, which is the cycling governing body in the U.S., it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're considering doing that next year. There's different tiers for that. You can do it as either a fun race or a competitive race under USA Cycling. Competitive I don't know if we'll do that just because it involves more. You need officials and all sorts of, you know, logistical considerations, but
really super good timers, I suppose.
Yeah. The timing, we always use competitive timing, and we would use them whether it was USA Cycling or not. They don't really get involved in that aspect of it. It's mostly just governing the,
I see,
officiating the races, basically.
And is this race timed?
It is timed, yeah. And we do it through competitive timing. We do it remotely. Actually, we do the timing ourselves with their equipment. And then they do all the scoring, and it's all remote. It works pretty well.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't really call it a fun race.
Well, it depends on who you are. Not fun for you, Julie, or for me.
If you like pain, it's kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about that for a minute. What do you find fun about it, Justin? What is the outcome for you after something, one of these really grinding, tough races?
Well, Julie, it may sound odd, but the more I ride my bike and the more pain I put my body through, the more enjoyable it becomes over the years. And so now when I go out, I hardly ever suffer. Or I used to suffer a lot. Like in the gravel grind, the last race in the series, I was waiting for like the pain, but it hardly, like I had about 10 minutes where I was uncomfortable.
You've mentally and physically conditioned.
Yeah,
part of it's mental too, right?
Your mind blocks it. I really enjoy it. I think
he's a little bit crazy.
He does sound
a little crazy, a little endorphins, a little mixture there. It's good.
You're a local person, of course. Will there be a lot of locals for this race, or is everyone coming in from all over?
Yeah, there's quite a few sampling people that do it. It's Spokane, Coeur d'Alene. We usually get a few from Whitefish and Missoula. Sometimes from Canada, although they haven't been here this year. Mm. And we get the odd person from California or Alaska or Ohio every now and then.
That are just coming in and wanting to do it.
Yeah.
Justin, it's not about national points or anything for you, obviously, but there would be the culmination of these three races, which it sounds like you're doing very well in. Is that an important part to you, or is it not about?
It is. I mean, I like to compete. I'm not going to lie. I could say, oh, no, it's, you know, that doesn't matter at all, but I do like to compete. But I also love the community here, the cycling community, really positive people, pretty humble, I feel like. Like these two ride with me, and they're very strong cyclists, but they're not telling you about that.
No. Well, so, I was going to ask them if they're participating this time. I bet you can't again because your organizers.
Yeah, this one is tough because it's a point-to-point. So we start on Baldy, down in the valley, and then we finish up at the Sky House. And there's a lot of equipment that we have to sort of lug back and forth and get in place and do all the timing, and it's logistically it's difficult.
Yeah, so you'll be too busy.
Yeah, I don't know many race organizers that are able to race their own races. Yeah. And
although I did do the 3/4 minus this year. Yes. And last year.
You did. I held it down.
Yeah.
So this is my
made Sammy do all the work.
My note to Charles, I'm doing it next year.
Oh, that's so am right. I.
Oh.
Well, I guess Justin may have a job
Justin
by next
will,
year.
Justin will run the show next year.
Yeah, all that right. Should be interesting.
That was another thing we wanted to ask. How's it going putting these races on? I know you had the bike shop before, and it was all kind of part of that program. How is it just putting the races on? Is it working?
It is working. It's a lot of work. And it's fun, but there are a lot of, you know, there's so many little details that we have to think about, you know, including the permitting, getting all the sponsors lined up, the timers.
Volunteers.
Yeah. It's
That's kind of been this week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Just sorting.
I'm working on it pretty much every day. Like all the summer, I've been doing a little bit of organizing every day. And it's...
Right.
You know, it's a lot of work.
It's a matter of being organized, I would guess, and planning far enough out so you're not total. I'm sure you're very rushed toward the just before, but good planning helps.
Yeah,
It's definitely like organized chaos, isn't
it? I'm not sure how we did it before when we had the bike shop too.
I don't know either. Maybe because I saw you almost every day, and that in-person communication just happened to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And we just answered questions when people came into the shop versus via email.
Right.
There's something to be said about that. It's just.
Yeah. And you had those shop hours together when you didn't have a customer. You could be thinking about the race, upcoming races. That makes sense.
Now we meet in at the shed.
We do. We have a tiny little shed that we go burn up in because there's no AC and it's really hot in there.
It's the shed that we had at the shop, and we moved it over to Sammy's.
Yeah, Charles property. Said I could have it as an art shed, and it's a merch shed.
We've got all our equipment stored in it.
Oh, you guys, you should give yourselves permission to work somewhere else while it's like this, hot and smoky.
No, most of the work we do just kind of from our independently, and we meet it somewhere.
Okay. Are you liking these three courses? Is that going to stay the same through?
Yeah, we've talked about. I mean, this one for Ethers Traverse, it's kind of hard to switch it up because it's a point-to-point. The others are loops, so you can change the direction. You can make some minor changes here and there.
Yeah.
And there's always the idea of like an entirely new route, which we've talked about. But
Yeah, and this is only the second year that we've actually put Ethers Traverse to the public. So it'd be cool to get a handful more people to experience it before we even thought of changing that. And, you know, when we were reconning this ride 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago, whenever we did, I've ridden like three different routes up the backside of Schweitzer just to figure out what roads we actually wanted to go up.
Yeah. There's quite a maze of state, state roads back there.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
It would be fun just for hiking or a little scenic drive, I would think. I got to get back there.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. And that's why it's so exciting to bring routes like this to the public because, you know, I actually don't think I would have done it unless Charles and Jeff, who now has the granary, if they didn't say, let's go test this ride out, I probably wouldn't have explored that by myself. So it's nice just to show people that, what's around us.
Yeah,
and close to town.
Yeah.
The folks that really want to get fit and want to know that particular course, that would be a great training course.
It's pretty cool.
Even for people that aren't quite as strong as Justin and love pain and want to be killed every time they go biking.
Well said.
I can tell that.
Justin and I last weekend we rode up to the top of Schweitzer on our mountain bikes up the front side, the typical route up the single track all the way to we didn't go to Pop Point, but we went almost to the Sky House.
We changed it slightly because I was feeling sick.
Yeah, he had food poisoning the night before, and he still did this ride.
Went ahead. And did that feel good too?
Well, it actually didn't feel good, but I was thinking I like to do something memorable, sometimes painful on my birthday, because the more pain, the more memorable. So
food
I was telling myself
and
that.
60th birthday ride.
Whoa.
My daughter looked at me. She goes, you're not riding today, right? Because she heard me throwing up during the night. And I said, got to do it. This is the day. I'm 60.
So, boy, I don't know. Is he going to be a good interview for getting people to sign up for this race, or should we just cut him off right now?
He is kind of
86.
A freak, but,
I appreciate that.
No,
he's
very inspirational.
You sound amazing. 60, happy 60.
I'm definitely not.
Everyone wants to be as crazy as Justin.
Well, guys, let's come back to the volunteers for a minute, because KRFY is a volunteer in this event. Aren't we, Julie?
We are, and we're a recipient. And we sure appreciate all that you give the station and all the just being part of it has been really fun for us.
The party, the watching the riders come through, the setting up the aid station and making sure that people are having their hydration and snacks as needed, and just seeing these amazing athletes on an event like this is pretty inspiring, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And since we're talking about that, who are the other sponsors? Let's talk about your other sponsors
We have quite a few. I have to print out a list of them, so many.
Oh, wow, that's great.
We have some great podium sponsors. They provide the prizes for the top three finishers in each category for all three of the races that we do. Alpine Shop, Pondere Winery, Outdoor Experience, Matchwood Brewing, Evans Brothers, and then some of our other sponsors are The Granary, the new bakery in town, which is in the old Syringa Cyclery building.
Yes.
KRFY as well. You guys are sponsors as well as beneficiaries. The Pondere Peddlers, also sponsors and beneficiaries. Pondere Peddlers help us with our volunteers, organizing the volunteers.
Makes sense, all those cyclists.
Aseptic, everybody's got to go.
Hey, that's a great way to help out. So great of them.
Glad you said that.
Bonner County Bikes, they donated the bike for the raffle.
Charles has everybody cracked up here with the septic. That's the level of humor we've got around here. We've got you guys
Hammer Nutrition every year provides our nutrition that we have at the aid stations, and we put in the rider swag bags. Heart Bowls gave us some coupons, I think. Schweitzer Mountain, Kinnexu Land Trust, The Squeeze In, and Clark Fork. And these are sponsors for our entire series, by the way. The city of Sandpoint, the city of Clark Fork, Woods Wheatcroft provided a poster for the Three Quarter Minus. Cora Murray did the poster for Monarch Grind. Lena Haug, did the poster for this race, Ethers Traverse.
Neat.
All three of those will be auctioned off or raffled off up at the Sky House. Heart Bowls, and then we have a new sponsor, Lower Gear Cycles. They're kind of a mobile repair shop, bike repair shop.
Oh, fun.
So they're going to be at the start and then on course for Ethers Traverse, providing mechanical support for the riders.
How nice.
And I think that's it. Did I miss
anyone? Wow, that's a whole community.
It's a real These are always community efforts, you know.
And they're individual business owners within here, are either right within Sandpoint or within the greater community. And isn't that amazing that they all stepped up and helped sponsor and help make this happen? It's really cool to know that.
I think we all really want more bike trails off the highways. You know, if we can all work toward that and make this our area more friendly to bike riders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, safe for bike riders. That would be great.
It's tough.
Just showing us how it can be done.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Well, we're coming to an end of our time relatively soon. We've got some time, but let's repeat the detailed events and how folks might want to get in touch with you either to participate or if they feel inspired to volunteer. Oh, and then after that, I want to ask you about spectation, if there's any way to watch this race. Let's start with that, actually. Let's go there and then back to the details.
It's a little tricky. You can drive or ride your bike, I guess, along or your motorcycle along the course and watch as people ride along. But I think most of the spectating will be at the start and then at the finish line at the Sky House. And, you know, anyone's welcome to come up there and hang out with us. And
that sounds fun.
Yeah. Remember last year, Charles, I think it was a really great spot that you and I watched the riders come up the hill on.
Yeah.
What's that building that's below?
Oh, it's
at the bottom of the hill.
That's the shack for the T-bar.
The shack.
Do they come past?
They do.
So the last section of the course, they come up to the bottom of the T-bar there, they make the turn up to the Sky House. So that stretch is a good place to watch.
That'd be my recommendation, especially, you know, you can either do the nature trail to get up to the top where the Sky House is and then walk down to the shack.
Yeah.
Or you can take the chairlift up and it opens at
11
a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which should give you definitely enough time for some riders. I mean, there will be a handful of riders that have finished before then, but I'd say the bulk of the field, you know, you'd still watch some people coming through. Anyways, the shack would be my pro tip. Oh, yeah. Watching.
Good, good, good. Yeah. And so people could come on up to Schweitzer, take the chairlift, yeah. which they pay for.
Or hike up if they want.
Yeah, yeah, if you're a hiker, hike on up. Mm-hmm. And then they could come earlier so they could catch the first ones coming in. Think about hiking to the T-bar. And then if they wish to join in the yeah. festivities after, come on up and hang out with you guys. Can they participate? Like there's a meal or something, I assume.
We'll have a meal up at the Sky House. For the racers and volunteers.
Can spectators purchase a ticket, or is that really something not to be encouraged?
I think the Sky House will be open for just regular customers as well. So if they want to get a meal and drink or whatever up there.
Yeah, maybe get a beer. Yeah. And about what time? When's the race starting?
The race starts at 8. Okay. So the first finishers will be coming in around 11-ish at the finish.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just before, because last year Trent, who's a high schooler here, 2:45 is what I saw.
Oh, yeah.
We were so caught off guard.
Yeah.
Charles and I...
We were thinking it was going to be 4 hours.
We were. He was pounding. Yeah. It was incredible.
That's amazing. So
and this year, that'll be Justin, probably.
Well, Trent's also racing this year. It's going to be a really exciting race.
I'm excited to hear about it. Well, Julie and I will be there at the aid station, so we'll get to watch those great riders come through, and really looking forward to the rest of it, too.
Yeah.
All right, back to the details. August 15th, take it away again, Charles or Sammy.
Sam.
Yeah, August 15th, so, you know, a week and a half from now, 8 a.m. starts at on Baldy Mountain Road, just before Upland. Details, it's 34 miles. I don't think we've actually mentioned the distance yet. Yeah. 34 miles with just under 6,300 feet of elevation gain. And if you'd like to find more details, you can go to our website at panhandlegravel.com. Or you can go on to Run Sign Up and just search for Ether's Traverse.
Yeah. We have the link to that on the panhandlegravel.com, which is the registration link.
Yeah. Our website has all the bit of info that you need. But, you know, if you do want to go straight to Run Sign Up, if you know that you want to do this race, you can go straight to there. We're also on Facebook at Panhandle Gravel and on Instagram at Panhandle Gravel. So a lot of information gets put out that way. And then... you know, email as well. If you've signed up for our races, you'll get all the updates. You don't even have to have signed up for our races, but if you want to be put on our mailing list just for future events, because we do have 3 new events that we'll have to come back and talk about.
Really? Well, we might have a moment for you to just touch on them, because our next guest is not here yet. If you want to just like give us a teasing hint of what they might be.
So we have, we used to do cyclocross in town, Crosstoberfest. So we're resurrecting that as part of a Missoula, Montana series. And that's a USA Cycling sanctioned event that people compete for and get points so that they can qualify for nationals.
Cool.
That's October 17th and 18th, 17th in Naples and 18th at Sled Hill.
Nice. This year. So
yeah, this year.
Still this year. You guys have been busier than you've been.
Yeah.
Saying.
This was kind of the brainchild of Bob Presta, and we're helping out. We're organizing these races with him.
Okay.
And then we have the Schweitzer Hill Climb is September 19th.
Ooh.
And registration is open for both of these. You can also get all that info on our website or directly on Run Sign Up.
Oh, Schweitzer. Okay. So that's just a race up Schweitzer, something like
There'll be two options. You can either go up the road or up the dirt. So the dirt would be the Lower Basin cross country trails to the roundabout and then the Upper Basin Trail. And then both finish in the village at the clock tower.
Okay, or just right up the Schweitzer Mountain Road, just grinding it up there.
Yeah.
Is Justin signed up yet?
No, but he will be.
Yes. Wait, can we say a really fun fact about Justin really quick during the Schweitzer Hill Climb? You did it on a unicycle 1 year, correct?
I think I did it 3 times.
Can you briefly tell us about that?
That sounds crazy.
Well, the last time I did it, I was really hesitating because I think I was like, 55 or 56. And I said to Charles, I said, really? At my age, to be on a unicycle and during the Schweitzer Hill climb, I'll be the only guy on a unicycle. And isn't that just a kind of way too immature? And Charles said, well, that's exactly why you should do it, because you're that old and you're on a unicycle. I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
And this tells us something about all three of you and your senses of humor.
It's silly. It's just we're kind of silly when we get out there and ride. So it was fun.
He beat half the field on the unicycle bet.
No. Oh, get out of here. Well, news alert, folks. Our second guest isn't here, so we can talk as long as we want if you'd like to continue. Or if you're done, we'll just sign you off and we'll play. Julie and I will BS.
Well, maybe we should reintroduce them and tell everybody who we're talking to and what we're talking about. Take a little song break and come back.
Alrighty. Okay, listeners, for those of you who joined late after the 8 a.m. hour, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine here with Julie Perchinski, and this morning we're being joined by Charles Mortensen and Sammy Berryman, who are organizing the upcoming Ethers. Now, you got me. You told me the right pronunciation, and then it made me go crazy and not be able to do it.
You got it.
Ethers. Yeah. Grind. It's a massively fun and difficult last gravel grind of the year for these guys. And we're also being joined by one of the participants, Justin Henney, who apparently is a madman athlete and 60. So quick song break, and we'll come back and finish up with anything that we haven't gotten to yet.
All right. Sounds good, Julie.
Do it on the sidewalk. Do it in the street. Children, woo! Butter your popcorn now. Come on, children. Butter your popcorn. Come on, children. It's your popcorn, baby. Pop it like you want to. I know you dig it, baby. Now tell me, don't you? Little boy black, come on. Come and blow your horn. People gone crazy. Children, butter your popcorn. Come on, children. Woo! Butter your popcorn now. Come on, children. Butter your popcorn. Come on, children. Let me see you move like a Persian cat, with rhythm in your feet and rhythm in your back. Push on, baby, push. Baby, push on, girl. You got to let them know it's a pop.
Alrighty, well, welcome back, listeners, to KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is Julie Calamine here with Julie Perchinski. Hello again, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
So, luckily, our first half of the hour guest did not just run off when we thought we had a second guest coming, so we've still got them back on the same topic of Ethers Traverse, which is this amazingly cool third in a series of gravel grinds that are happening due to Sammy and Charles. And we realized that during the first 30 minutes, we'd talked about the strenuousness of these events and races, but it's not just a group of super athletes that do this. There are everyday people that decide they're going to take on a challenge and go for it. So let's talk about that aspect of these events.
Yeah. I honestly think I might be like a prime example, which I don't know if you guys agree, but just because, Charles, you know this, and I've said this so many times, but the first ever gravel race I did was Monarch Grind. I was untrained, signed up like the week of the event, and I just thought, oh, that looks pretty beautiful. I haven't ridden in that area. I had just purchased a gravel bike, you know, a month earlier, and I kind of just went out there and did it. And I walked for, you know, 30 minutes of that ride. like uphill. But it was the best 30 minutes because I pulled out my peanut butter and honey sandwich. I was looking at gorgeous views and pushing my bike uphill. And there was like no place that I wanted to be other than right there. Honestly, I'm not just like trying to sell, but it was. It was just like, oh my gosh, I get to be out here. I feel safe because there's other people around me, even though it's so remote. And I get to share kind of like a bit of the suffering with people, but I also wasn't suffering because
it like, was your initial experience and you didn't have any expectations about how it would finish up. You got to just experience it.
Yeah. Even though she did finish second place.
Yeah,
Charles, and women. No. Did you really? Even with a 30-minute walk?
You can do anything you set your mind to.
Well, all right. That's but amazing, yeah, Sammy.
It's all types of people. You know, for example, we have, for a couple of years, we've had two father and son tandem teams do these races. And by father and son, we're talking sons that are 10-year-old
10
kids.
To 13. One of them had to mount wooden blocks onto the pedals so his son could reach them. We've got a very great photo of that.
And they, they've done the Monarch Grind.
They did every race.
They did every race. And, you know, the Monarch Grind and Ethers are just
grueling.
I can't imagine going up a tandem on those. But
yeah, the dad has to be doing a lot of that work, I would think.
Yeah.
On that race.
Yeah.
Race.
Shout out.
We definitely get casual riders, you know, hotshot riders, people of all types.
Yeah. And, you know, we get people on all different types of bikes as well. I mean, we do say gravel races, but for Ethers, you could be on a mountain bike, you could be on a hardtail. We do say that you probably should be on a gravel bike or anything that has, you know, more width of tires up from that. Like, we kind of don't think you're not going to make it up on a road bike. Like,
no,
it's just unsafe.
It has to be able to handle some gravel.
We don't allow e-bikes or anything with a motor.
No. Good to know. But, you know, just we had some people on their bike packing bikes, which are notorious for being that much heavier. And, you know, they're just coming through the area bike packing and they jump in the event. And it's just your casual athlete.
It's a little slower, but they still get to experience it and try it out. That's pretty neat. Julie and I have been at these aid stations and seen the people coming through, and it's over a period of hours, really, because the very fast ones will come running through, and they won't even stop, usually. They just keep going. They're trying to really be the winners. And then come the next group who are strong, but will take a water break, and then...
And then the last ones who... kind of have to be encouraged to leave.
Yeah, aid station.
No couches. No, only the MASH unit had a gurney.
Right, that's so true. And Sam, your story is very funny about stopping having your peanut butter and honey and all that. But I have an ex brother in law who is a skier, but kind of not a very serious skier. And I think you would maybe relate to this because his two favorite parts of the ski day were one, lunch, and two, when it was over. And so I bet that's relatable.
I would like to meet him. Sounds like a very fun friend.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so this race can be for those people too, the ones that just want to challenge themselves but aren't worried about time or anything like that, their time.
Yeah. And like you guys said, you know, you guys are aid station for Ethers and you guys bring all the good snacks. I'm impressed every year at every aid station you host. You guys have, you know, and you kind of switch it up depending on like what you see people taking previously. And I know you ask us what the riders like so that you can provide all the goodies for them. But people like to linger, as Julie said.
That's great. We love it when they do. Just going by without talking or visiting or just telling us how it's all been for them. It's fun to hear the experiences.
Very cool.
That's right. Well, we've heard about the additional events that are coming up this fall, and I would hope that they'd be added next year too, but are there any other ideas up in the ether sphere?
People pitch me ideas all the time. Yeah. I don't know about you. I think it's quite cool.
Yeah.
Like one of my high schoolers that I mentor, he pitched me a crit race. Yeah. He's been actually pitching me this for the last couple of months. And
what's it short for?
Criterium. which is where you just pretty much are in a very tight pack, and you typically go around like a city block type scenario. Mm-hmm. And
Sandpoint used to do a crit. There, Sandpoint, I think in the 80s and maybe 90s mm-hmm. too.
I was just
before I was here. They used to do. I think it was like a 3-day
cool
cycling mm-hmm. event where they did a hill climb up Schweitzer mm-hmm. Mountain, and then a road mm-hmm. race, like a nice. Typical road race, and then a crit in downtown, like around the where the that parking lot is in the wow. middle of town.
What mm-hmm. my biggest concern with him, I was like, keep dreaming mm-hmm. because this is cool, and yes, we should talk about it.
Yeah.
But I went straight to permitting. You know, permitting in town in my mind yeah. seems more difficult than. But you're my permit guy. I'm the communications.
You know, we get a city permit for the 3/4 minus every year, which is, you know, there's different types of permits, but I mean, it would basically be an event permit. I don't think it would be too difficult. It would obviously a little more logistics because you'd have to close street. Down like that you know, multiple streets,
sure. But I mean, we have a parade every year, and they yeah. shut down streets, and yeah. farmers market shuts down that whole block. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I bet that's not that.
This
impossible.
Will be a Lycra parade, yeah. basically.
There you go. And for spectators, what could be nicer than to be right in downtown? Wouldn't that be fun for those of us who aren't participating?
Yeah,
it'd be fun to bring in the high school too.
Right.
I know.
The kids. Right. And mm-hmm. Justin.
I wanted to give a little plug for our friend Spencer Grassel, who's putting a race on up in that. Paradise Valley on October 3rd. And I think he's calling it a mountain bike race, but you could probably ride a gravel bike with bigger tires. It's in a area called Section 16 mm-hmm. up there in Paradise
oh, yeah.
Valley.
Where yes. the new, those are newer yeah. trails. Yes. Yeah. That would be cool.
October 3rd.
October 3rd. Wow, there's a lot going on. Yeah. So that's that great. And then the other two races still this fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It's
a bunch. Wow. Well, all right. I don't have a bunch more, but if you all have more you'd like to share, let's do it. And if not, Julie and I will just talk about Sandpoint events like we always do.
And what's coming up on KRFY later today.
That's right.
And
that's
tonight.
Right. So what do you think, guys? Sammy? You could talk. You've always got more.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Well, more so I was curious about how your pickleballing is going.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask if you've ever played pickleball with Justin.
No. Does Justin, do you play pickleball?
Only by default.
I see.
But I think it's really fun. I'm not sure I see it as a sport, but I do. I think it's a – oh, I know. I'm sorry.
Those are some fighting words, aren't they, Justin?
They're going to kick us out
of
here now.
Did you set Justin up for this, you guys?
I take that back.
I'm going to have to go over and do something.
Sorry, ladies. It's like ping pong to me. Is ping pong a sport?
Yeah,
it's in the Olympics, so I think it's a sport.
All right, my bad. I'm just ignorant is really what I am.
No, it's a different kind of sport. But guys, the sad news is, as with so many people, older people, over 60 in pickleball, I have kind of a sore arm right now. I'm going off to see Dr. Muhlenberg at 11 to talk about my arm. Yeah, yours too. Yeah, he's great.
Don't tell your insurance company.
But it's not terrible yet, but it's becoming an issue, so it's... You know, kind of sad.
Yeah. That's why I don't play pickleball. I already have that.
You have a sore arm. Yeah.
Super fun, though.
I might switch to right-handed, though. I'm that dedicated. I've been practicing on the backboard.
Oh, so you're left-handed. Huh?
I'm left-handed, but I could go right.
That would be very impressive. That would be. Well, Justin, I'll tell you, pickleball is a real sport because there's world championships in this sport, and I just have to plug my parents really quick. My mom got invited to play on the world champs team for Saipan because we have weird connections to Micronesia. We won't
Your
go
mom?
Into that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's going to Vietnam. Do you know that they're in Vietnam
I
this
do
year?
Know that. And is your mom local? Does she live around here?
She's a floater.
Okay. Because
Portland, Oregon based, but comes to visit me quite often and stays up here.
Oh, well, I see an upcoming interview with your mom. Either before or after that big event. That's
she
exciting.
Would, love and hate that. I'm definitely No, we should try that though. That'd be cool.
You'll come with her, Sammy.
Yeah. I'll come hype her up.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think on that note, we've diverged about as far as we can from bikers, guys. I think we're going to call it. And just want to thank you all for joining us this morning. And I hope the event is just a smash, knockout, wonderful success. I know it will be with you all organizing it. Charles Mortensen, Sammy Berryman, and Justin Henney. All the best to you. I hope it's a great day on the 15th.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
We'll see you there. All right, off to a song, and we'll let these guys go finally, and then Julie and I will finish up the hour.
Riding along on a carousel, trying to catch up to you. Riding along on a carousel, will I catch up to you? Horses chasing, 'cause they're racing, so near yet so far. On the carousel, on the carousel, nearer, nearer by changing horses, still so far away. People fighting.
Welcome back, everybody. That was a fun interview, Julie. They just left the studio, so all is well with the gravel grind people.